In order for us to appreciate the magnitude and the complexities of this scripture, there are some things we must understand. Let us be clear that Ezekiel, though he writes in a very poetic tone, is not a poet. We are not to evaluate him on the basis of his prose or poetic content. He is at his core and in his essence a prophet. He is a major prophet due to the magnitude of the work and contribution in scripture. He is considered one of the five major prophets of the Old Testament. He prophesies in this beautiful, picturesque language a situation that is anything but beautiful. He tells us that the Lord picked him up and carried him in the spirit and brought him into a place of dryness. If you don't hear this correctly, you will hear this through the ears of your traditions. I grew up going to a camp called Camp Running Water, and Miss Lewis and them would take us to the camp, and we'd get around the fire and sing, "Them bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the thigh bone. Hear ye the words of the Lord." And it was a cute song, cute, good for kids, good, real nice. Heard about it in Sunday school, sung in Vacation Bible School, had a lot of fun with it. But what this text is about is anything but fun. So take your religious glasses off and your Sunday school memories away and your favorite preacher's sermon away about the bones and understand the power of the prophecy. God has taken Ezekiel up in the spirit and then down into a valley that looks like it's been excavated. The valley is full of dry bones. And the Bible says that the bones were very dry. And when we read about the progression of the story of the dry bones, I'm not sure that Ezekiel himself fully understood what he saw, except there were two things that stand out, putting the text in context. The bones represented an army that had been defeated. And when they were revived, they stood up on their feet, a great army. That was the vision. But the last two verses explains this is bigger than an army. This is the house of Israel. The scattering of the bones is how they will be scattered around the earth. And at the end of the scattering that God has promised him, "I will bring you back into your land," in verse 12. "I'm going to bring you back into your land." So this is not just picturesque. This is not just storytelling. This is prophetic as to the destiny of God's people, Israel, and what they would endure. The text at its core is a prophetic utterance over the nation of Israel. The dry, parched, barren destitution that they would face, scattered all over the world from 1933 to 1945, roughly 6 million Jews died, making up those dry bones. 6 million Jews made up those dry, very dry bones. What Ezekiel described as the valley of dry bones and then said the bones were dry and then comes back and says they were very dry, he was looking to one of the most horrific genocides that we have seen in the history of the world. 6 million Jews in a few short years, a short period of time, most of it in a few months, were slaughtered, yanked from their families, some of them never to see their loved ones again, some of them fleeing away, scattering in the night, escaping naked, running any way they could, deprived of food and dignity. It didn't start out that bad. It started out with jokes and stories being told and people poking fun at them and flyers being placed up on the wall, degrading them. And later it got deeper and they started putting yellow stars on their back to differentiate them from others, because whenever people need to destroy somebody, they must dehumanize them first so that they don't have to feel like they're killing an equal. They start gradually dehumanizing little tiny things, pulling away at your worth and your dignity. And little by little, it got worse and worse and worse, until their bodies were tossed into mass graves. No names, no memories. Numbers burned into their skin. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones. Can these bones live again? Lord, thou knowest. The people of Israel were scattered all over the world. They went throughout the whole diaspora, all over the world, hiding wherever they could, living wherever they could, and still to this day are scattered in many parts of the world, from Australia to New Zealand to Europe to any place they could find a place, America, in South America. They scattered everywhere to avoid the tyranny and the lunacy of Hitler. And some of them did not get away. We are sure 6 million or more did not get away. Baked in ovens, burned alive. No wonder Ezekiel said the bones were dry and very dry. From 1933 to 1945, we have 6 million Jews destroyed. They faced genocide, but they would reassemble and regain national status in 1948. The Ezekiel 37 is fulfilled in 1948 when God brings back those bones out of the diaspora, and there's a great noise and there's a great shaking, and then the bones start coming together again. And in 1948, Israel regained its national status and became a nation again against all odds. So let's put the text in context. Let's understand that it deals with real pain and real trauma and real atrocities, and some things that are not lawful to even be uttered, that cannot be fathomed, that I cannot do justice to, that I cannot fully articulate the magnitude of the atrocities that occurred amongst the Jewish family. And my heart goes out to you and to your children's children's children. The atrocities were so great that some scientific research has proven that the descendants of the Holocaust, many of them have had their DNA completely rearranged. Even though they weren't there, they inherited the stress and the trauma that rearranged their DNA structure. Their physiological DNA structure was affected by the atrocity that they went through. It's important that we understand that, especially right now at this juncture, while America is talking about pain and we're talking about injustice and we're talking about prejudice. This isn't no little thing. This kind of thing can get out of hand. It can turn into genocide beyond anything you can imagine. And in a few months' time, 6 million people can be destroyed because we listen at the wrong voice, and the wrong voice talks too loud and too long, and we feel justified and we feel enraged. And enraged people are dangerous people. And we have to hear this word. We have to understand this word. It's good for African Americans to hear this word, because we must recognize that we are not the only people that suffered. Sometimes we are so preoccupied with our own suffering that we delegitimize the suffering of other people. But you must recognize there's a reason that Native Americans are still on reservations after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You must realize that the Jewish people have gone through atrocities almost in our lifetime and resurrected and come back. And we must be hardened by the fact that if they survive, we can too. But we must be warned by the realization that dangerous voices at the helm of any country can lead to massive destruction. And all of us have to hear that. And we have to condemn all racist rhetoric because it leads to them dry bones. And don't think that America is exempt from her own dirty linen, snatching babies out of the hands of our mothers and grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers and pulling them away, never to be seen again. And don't think that we don't have mass graves in New York and mass graves in Washington and mass graves. Don't think that because we kind of regulate that kind of hatred and it's convenient to hate somebody far away from you and never recognize the malice that exists in your own heart. The truth of the matter is the heart of man is continually wicked. Black men, white men, brown men, any man given too much power too long can do hideous things to other people and justify it by calling them names because you don't think that they're real people. If you don't think that they're real people, you feel justified in killing them and destroying them and calling them names so that you don't have to lay down at night and wrestle with the guilt of the atrocities of life. Them bones. God has warned Ezekiel what is going to happen thousands of years before it occurred, and we're reading it. And it wasn't so that we would have campfire songs or so that we would hoop down a clothes at the end, but more importantly, that we might understand the word of the Lord to us. That we might understand that there is a fight that happens, not only in a nation, not only in history, not only in terms of understanding prophetic relevance, but there is a fight that can take you out. The Bible said that when Ezekiel got down to the valley of the dry bones, they were so bad that when God asked him, can they live again? He said, Lord, thou knowest. I'm your prophet, and I'm not even sure that they can make a comeback. And I want to take it now from its context and apply it to your situation. A few of you, not all of you, have lived long enough or gone through anything bad enough, but a few of you know what it is to have something to so scald you, so burn you, so beat you, so pulverize you that your fight goes out of you. And you're so scattered and so broken and so fragmented that you don't even know whether you can ever live again or whether you will ever smile again or whether you will ever live to fight another day or whether you'll be able to pull yourself together. Your mind is over here and your heart is over there and your body's over here and your finances are over there and you're all scattered all about and trying to gather yourself together just to fake a smile for a few minutes in front of people to say, I'm doing okay, knowing you're lying on the inside because them dry bones. Bones have been dry so long that you can't even remember what happy felt like, what joy felt like, what peace felt like, what contentment felt like. Your song is gone. Your dance is gone. Your joy is gone. You've gone through so much. I'm not talking about somebody stole your parking space. I'm not talking about having to clip coupons in order. I'm talking about going through so much that something inside of you dies. And you wonder, can I get back up again? I don't mind falling down if I can get back up again. I don't want to fall down at all. But if I fall down and I know I can get up, I'll be all right. I might have a skinned knee. I might need a Band-Aid, but I'll be okay. But I'm concerned about the fall where I go down and I can't get up again. I'm concerned about being like that old lady in the commercial. Help! I've fallen. And I can't get up. And you don't have to be old to be like that. You can be broke and be like that. You can go to prison and be like that. You can go through a divorce and be like that. You can be heartbroken and be like that. Help, I've fallen and I can't get myself back up. I can't get myself together. I can't get back in the fight again. I can't get the strength to open up my business again. I can't open up my heart to the possibility of being hurt this bad again. Help! I've fallen. and I can't get back. They used to be an army. They made a living fighting. These were not wimps. These were not weak men. These were fighters. These were warriors. They had swords and shields, and now all they had was bones and smell. Have you ever seen anybody lose their fight? Get where they didn't care what they put on, whether they brushed their teeth or not, or combed their hair. You can lose your fight so bad that you despair of life itself. The Apostle Paul talks about one time, now he's writing the Bible, and said, I went through a time that was so piercing and so deep, he said, that I despaired of life itself. I didn't even want to be here anymore. He cries out at another time, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I know you're up right now and everything's going wonderful right now. You don't think you need to hear this, but just put this message back and save it, because there are some things that can attack you so severely and so consistently, and one thing after another after another after another, until after a while you get tired. You can't fight everybody all the time, 24/7, and you finally give up. Them bones, them dry bones.